Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newlecker. Today I am joined by someone who is a personal trainer and influencer, but I don't think that quite does her justice. She is so, so much more than that and very inspirational. She was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at a very young age and she hasn't let it stop her at all. She's actually just got back from climbing Mont Blanc. She's climbed Kilimanjaro, run several ultra marathons, raising £100,000 for charity. She can probably do her story so much more justice than what I'm doing it myself. So, Sophie Grace Holmes, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hello, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, absolute pleasure. I'm honoured to have you on. So, how are you today? How's it all going?
Yeah, very well. We're very happy. The sun's back out. Although, I must say, I actually gave myself a layer this morning, which is unlike me, because I'm like pro 5am club. But it was very nice.
Yeah, I suppose a lay-in is like, what, like 7am? It's like, that's a lay-in.
I mean, yeah, you're right, that was my lay-in, but it's not the point.
Okay, cool. So, obviously, some of the listeners may not have heard about what you're promoting before or your background. So, would you like to give them a bit of information on your background?
Yeah, of course. So, basically, I started up my social media based on the fact that I got told from a very young age that I was going to die. And for that reason, I decided I was going to prove that that basically wasn't going to be the case because I'm very stubborn and determined. So I suffer from a condition called cystic fibrosis, which you are born with, and it's to do with two faulty genes that your mum and dad both have, which then causes the body to produce a build-up of mucus within the lungs and your digestive system, which obviously if you don't treat and you don't look after yourself, will basically push your life into a different realm and mean that you may not live as long. So when I was born 27 years ago, I got told, well, my parents got told that I wouldn't live past 16. So, you know, from growing up, I got told, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're going to be limited, don't be silly, you're not going to have a life. So I've dedicated my entire life to prove that prediction wrong, but doing it in the most extreme possible way I can.
It's incredible. It's your story and the things that I've seen you do just show that there are just no limits, no limitations. If you've got a positive mental attitude, you can literally overcome anything, pretty much.
So, well, exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really motivating for people to see. So obviously, you must have a lot of things from dealing with this illness that do carry on through to your day. So like taking medication and testing your respiratory system, for example. So what is a typical day with cystic fibrosis like for you?
So, you know, I don't know any difference. So obviously when I start reading off everything I have to do, people that don't have to do it think, oh wow, where do you fit that in? So,
yeah.
You know, average day I get up and I do a nebulizer, which takes a few minutes, and then that'll be backed up probably by breakfast, which I'll have to take a few tablets for because my digestive system does not work in the same way as everyone else's because it does not produce digestive enzymes. I have to take them every single time I eat, which I eat a lot, so I end up taking about 50 of those a day,
yeah,
which is a bit crazy in itself. And then alongside that, I also then have to take another 30 or 40 inhaled capsules just to keep my lungs healthy and keep them well and infection-free. But my day doesn't stop there because once all of they're done, so you know, average 80 a day, I also have to make sure that I get myself down the gym to keep strong. But for me, this isn't just for making me feel good. It's to keep my mindset strong because I'm a firm believer, as we've already said, that everything comes down to the way you perceive things and the way you view things and how strong your mindset is and how much you can convince yourself to go and do all these crazy things that I love to do. And I believe if you train your mind stronger than anything else, then you can absolutely be limitless and achieve anything.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think it's just, it comes through even more in what you do, obviously, because it's like a circle. It's like the more things you do, the better you feel. The better you feel, the more things you want to do. And it's keeping that momentum going, obviously, with what you're doing. And obviously, you've got a presence on social media, and that helps you to connect with other people who have cystic fibrosis. However, I didn't know, and I saw a post about this, that people who have cystic fibrosis can't actually meet physically with each other. So, I don't know very much about it. For the listeners, could you explain like why that is, why people who have cystic fibrosis can't actually meet each other in person?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the sad thing about it is it's probably one of the only, it's labelled as a disease, but I don't like to call it that because I don't think it is right to label it as something like that. But it's one of the only conditions that people would be benefit so much from meeting each other because of the support. And, you know, statistically, over half of people who die from CF are age 28 or younger. Mm-hmm. And that's just crazy. Yeah. And, you know, if they had better support from other people, then that may not be the case because of other things. But basically, it's to do with cross-infection. So to give you an example to make it easy, so my lungs are susceptible to certain bugs and germs, which I am on medication for every single day. So if I was to then meet somebody who had the completely different kind of bugs in their lungs and I caught them, I could end up in a really serious situation and vice versa, which then could mean my lung function and my lung health is dramatically reduced in a short space of time, which could then lead to implications such as not being able to get better or even lung transplant, like putting on the lung transplant, or even still not being here today. So, you know, it's a massive factor.
Yeah.
And the other problem with that is CF is a invisible illness because you'd never know. You never know who has and hasn't got it unless you are, you know, you say.
Yeah, and you, it's not like you can walk around with a badge on you, and also you don't want to be labelled as having it because you're permanently trying to prove that you're not letting it hold you back. So it's something that you obviously, you need to be aware of, but you can't meet people and say, oh, I have this is my identity. It's not your identity. You're so much more than that, and you prove that every day. And, I mean, one of the ways you do prove this of working really hard, being really positive and not letting it stop you is that you do a lot of workouts in your hospital room. And I was watching this and I just thought, oh my goodness, do doctors ever stop you? Are they all really positive? Are they really encouraging of you doing these workouts?
Okay, so it's quite a funny story, really. Yeah. Because when this all started, this determination and this like wanting to thrive and survive and do all these crazy things and basically be like Superwoman started when I was 19.
Yeah.
Because I actually became really poorly, so my lung function went down to 50%.
Okay.
And they didn't know why. And there was a doctor at the time who was still at the hospital, and he just turned and said, look, so I can't fix it, and frankly, you're just going to be like everyone else, so just accept it.
Right.
So could you imagine being told basically at 19 that you're going to die? Like, you know, there's nothing we can do, good luck.
I wouldn't be able to comprehend that. I just think.
And luckily for me, I thought it was really funny. I was like, oh, that's a cool story, but you don't know me, so I'll see you soon. And that's when I drew up my bucket list of extreme challenges, and that's where it all started when I decided to summit Kilimanjaro, because there was only one other person in the world that had done it, and I believed I could do it, regardless of the doctors saying, you know, you're never going to be able to do it, you're never going to be able to have a life. Like, and I was a bit like, you know, I'm the kind of person now that if you say I can't do something, I'll go out of my way to do it. To be like, yeah, I can. Like, and it just proves that you can do something even if somebody thinks you can't, regardless of science or medical conditions or whatever. And obviously, I'm not saying, you know, go and do all this stuff, but obviously, within reason, of course, you can achieve anything.
Of course.
So, you know, I then worked really hard in the gym, retrained into fitness, and set myself a load of challenges to basically focus my training to keep me healthy and well. And that's what it came down to. And actually, after doing that, this one doctor came up to me maybe 2 years ago, knelt down on the floor, shook my hand and said, I'm sorry, you proved me wrong, how can you help me?
Wow.
So, you know, it just proves that I understand why he thinks it, because he's one of the top doctors and he's used to being surrounded by very sick people, and that can't be nice. But don't apply someone else's situation to somebody that you don't really know could or could not be better than that person. So, you know, he's learned his lesson. And he's also managed to learn how to help other people in a different way.
Well, I think that speaks volumes then how much an influence that you're going to have on other people who have CF in there, how much you could then change their lives. And because, for example, if they're speaking to a doctor who says that to them, then you know, obviously you're supposed to listen to your doctor's advice. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying, you know, on this occasion, you were right and he said he was wrong. So I think it's just such an incredible story. So, I mean...
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. Like, even recently when I went to go and climb Mont Blanc, I actually only got told 2 weeks before that I was going. And I was like, okay, cool, let's go. And so I went to the doctor and I was like, so I've got this cool story. And you can't really say no, because it's smaller than Kilimanjaro and I'm going. So just need to sign this paperwork, basically. And they just looked at me and they were like, well, we can't really say no. And,
we're
going to just let you go because you're going to go anyway because you're stubborn and you want to go and do this stuff.
Yeah.
But also help so many other people by proving that you're going to go and do this thing that only 5% of the population are actually ever going to do.
Yeah.
And so they basically make a joke now and say, so what are we going to have to keep your life on now? What's coming up? It's great.
It's good. It's good. It's more incentive. It's great. And I think it kind of like, it's obviously you've got quite a rebellious character in that sense that you know that even if they told you not to do it, you probably would do it anyway. But what was actually like climbing Mont Blanc, for example? Because I've never climbed a mountain. I mean, in terms of with CF as well, was there any sort of issues, complications, any problems, or was it pretty smooth sailing?
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was one of the probably the best experience of my life to date, better than anything I've ever done. Like, there is nothing like being around a group of people that are very similar with the same attitude, same mindset, but from different places. Like, we had some from Sweden, we had some from Denmark, obviously London, LA, like all these different places. And you know, when a group of people come together and they support each other and you do everything to help each other to get to the top, regardless of how hard people find it, like, they made a joke because we'd get to certain parts and everyone would be laying on the floor and I'd be like, oh, come on, guys, let's go. Like, why are you laying down? Like, it's time. Like, we've got to get there. And they'd be like, why? Why are you not out of breath? And why do you have no... Why have you got so much energy? Like, sit down. And I'm like, no, like, we... And they're like, why? You're the one that should be struggling, not us. And I'm like, well, what can I say? Like, yeah. You know, and... Even up to this day, like, I can only put it down to the fact that my lungs are so used to having to change and adapt so quickly to different atmospheres and different things because of my CF. And in some ways, that's the silver lining where I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Because I was the only one that didn't get altitude sickness, didn't get headaches, didn't get out of breath. And we were standing on the top of this mountain and everyone was out of breath. And I was like, cool. Burpees? Anyone?
What a perk. I mean, that's brilliant.
I mean, exactly. It's got to be a silver lining to think some things, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So you could enjoy the view, you could relax, you know, you felt good, take loads of pictures. Easy.
Exactly. That was great. But it was tough. So I'm not going to take it away from the fact that it is a mountain that keeps going, and I never expected to have to rock climb for 700 metres without ropes on a vertical cliff. And the guides were literally like, you slip, you die. And I'm like, great.
Wow. Cool story, so there's no ropes.
Yeah, I'm really good at saving lives. No, literally, you were tethered to like one person. So if you fail, they had to catch you. But I was tethered to a guy called David. He was 100 kilos. So okay. Good luck, David.
Good luck, David. Nice to meet you, David. You might have to catch me. Oh my God, that's absolutely insane. I literally had a picture in my head of just like, you know, obviously a very high incline of climbing a mountain, but I didn't really think there was much rock climbing.
No.
But that's another story completely. That's pretty amazing.
Well, there's a few skills along the way. Learn how to do that, learn how to use ice axes and like climb up snow and like all sorts of things. But they were basically like, two people and we die on this mountain. So
okay, that's good.
Well, oh cool. We're not gonna die.
Awesome. Oh, that's good. I mean, you learn quickly when you've got that on the other side. I mean, failure is like, oh yeah, you fail, it's okay, you learn. You fail, you die. So you learn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're gonna survive. 5 minutes, it comes straight through.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Cool. Awesome. I mean, any more mountains on the agenda for the next year? What is next for you? You said doctors are obviously asking what's next. You probably don't know what's next. Have you got anything planned?
Well, I do, and I will tell you, although it's not quite an answer, but I'll tell you the secret. So, I'm actually taking my dad to trek the Himalayas.
Amazing.
In October.
Okay.
Crazy. So that will be incredible.
That will be incredible. It will be beautiful. It will be amazing. And obviously, with your dad as well, it will be a pretty amazing experience to share with him.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. Partly, you know, I'm the kind of person, I thrive so much off of physical challenge, especially physical challenge where your mindset is pushed to limits and you find yourself so deep in a pancake that you just don't know if you're going to carry on, and then you make it and you're like, oh, cool, see what I can do. But, you know, this is going to be a completely different experience. It's not going to be anything like the mountains I've done. It's just going to be beautiful. It's going to be probably quite chilled compared to some of the stuff. But it is going to be also used for a training purposes for something that's coming next year that I'm not allowed to say about. But it's basically a really good interlude for me to get out there, get back in the altitude and get my legs moving again, ready for the big things that are 2019.
Amazing. Well, I wish you the best of success with that. I'm sure it will be absolutely amazing. I'll be watching on social media how that goes as well.
Thank you.
So, I mean, you do all these incredible things. You know, you're doing ultramarathons, hiking, mountains, Himalayas. And obviously, there's probably some people who listen to this and say, oh, that's amazing that she does that. I mean, it's amazing. I wish I could, but I can't because of this. What would you say to these people who would love to do something like that but think they can't?
Stop making excuses. So this is a big thing that people say to me all the time. Oh, like, you've met some amazing people. You've done some amazing things. I wish I could, but... And obviously, you know, things that come, you know, the excuses will be work, money, friends, family commitments. But there's nothing more valuable than going to find yourself in a new experience and pushing yourself, because, you know, that is something that can't be taken away from you. Money can be made. So I always say to people, travel. But if you have the courage to chase a challenge or an adventure, what you get back from that is more valuable than anything and anyone will ever give you, because, you know, you'll find out your capabilities. And, you know, this all started for me on Kilimanjaro. I found out who I was and what I actually wanted in life. And that is so rare. Yeah. And you find out what you're capable of. And when you keep pushing those limits, you realize, you know, us as humans are so capable of different things and so many amazing things, but people aren't willing to put themselves through a little bit of pain, become comfortable with being uncomfortable just to find that out. But if you find that out, then you're going to be so liberated. And, you know, the more you do that kind of thing, the more you realize you can do, the more fulfilled you're going to be. And the more fulfilled you are, the more you can give back to others. And that giving back is the most fulfilling you're ever going to be. So, you know, I encourage people to go and find, I'm not saying go and do the things I'm passionate about because I love extreme challenge, but find something you love. Like, it could be absolutely anything. Just go and do it. Find a way to book it. There's always a way. Like, I'm a firm believer, where there's a will, there is a way.
Yeah.
And regardless of how far away that goal may seem or like how hard it seems, if you want something enough and you want to experience something enough, you'll go and do it, even if it's on your own. Mm. So, you know, I get there are excuses, but I'd also say to people is, don't let those excuses turn into regrets, because the biggest regret you'll have at the end of your life is making an excuse of not doing it. And my biggest fear is a regret. So I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. On the basis that, you know, we only get one shot and we have to do it now. And I think that's what I've probably learned through the years, you know, getting told that you're not going to be here, you might die, your life expectancy is 30, your life expectancy is 20 or whatever. Well, if that is the case, then I'm going to do everything I can now, and I'm going to make each day the way I wanted to make it. Because for me, risking everything for to be happy and like experience things and do what you love is better than anything. And I couldn't imagine anything worse. Like, so many of my friends, I love them dearly, but they live for Friday. Why live for Friday?
Yeah.
What happens Monday to Thursday? You need to reassess your Monday to Thursday if you're living for Friday. Yeah, I love the weekend, but I don't live for the weekend, because I live for every day, because I love every day, because I do what I want to do every single day. Yeah. And I know that to some people may seem a long shot off, but you've got to remember, if you're adding value and you're passionate about something, you will earn money from it. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true, because I think people don't realise what is out there on the other side of that pain threshold of trying something new, of getting that out there, of even like if it's something small, and you put it off and you do make excuses, and the excuses just don't serve you, unfortunately. And I think that's a really, you've put it in the perfect way, that obviously there are people who say, oh, just like get rid of your excuses, but it's like, no, get rid of your excuses, because there's so many better things on the other side. So thank you so much for sharing that. Your work for CF has been astounding so far, and obviously you're spreading more awareness of it every day, and obviously you're raising money basically for research for cystic fibrosis. If there's anyone listening, how can they donate to cystic fibrosis for further research, for example?
Well, actually, this is where I'm going to be at a no person plug something. we are actually fundraising to climb the Himalayas for the CF Trust to do research in order to find either a cure, which would be amazing, or just better meds, better treatments for people who do actually need it. Like I've always said, if somebody came to me tomorrow and said, so Pige or Pure, I'd turn around and say, give it to someone who needs it. I don't.
Wow.
So if I can live like this for the rest of my life, I'm more than happy to have CF because it's given me my life, you see. Yeah. It's given me my outlook. It's given my unique way of thinking and wanting to do stuff. So I'm very grateful for actually having something that has kept me on my toes or, you know, teased me with death, I guess.
Yeah.
But equally, it's given me life. And it's that's the fine line, isn't it? Until people are on their deathbed, they realise what they want, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just to live, you've got to die, kind of like scenario.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, every single year or every couple of years, I try and do some fundraising for them. And this year, we're going to go and trek the Himalayas in order just to fundraise as much as we can to help, really, because I think it's such a small charity still. And there's only, you know, I still say to people, they have no idea what it is. And there are only 10,000 people in the UK suffering from it.
Yeah.
So compared to maybe cancer, it's not a massive priority for people to help for the research. But equally, you could be saving so many young lives. And I think that is powerful.
It is powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And like you say, it's people don't know that much about it still. I have to admit, I didn't know that much about it as well. And I think what you're doing is absolutely incredible, spreading awareness for it and raising money for research for it as well. So the reason why I know more about it is because I follow Sophie on social media. I have a look at her videos and that kind of thing. It's really, really inspiring. So Sophie, do you want to leave people your handle so they can have a look at your journey and maybe donate, follow your journey, traveling across the Himalayas and whatever mountains you've got coming up as well?
Yeah, of course. It's just at Sophie Grace Holmes, just my name.
Awesome. Cool. Brilliant. Well, it's been incredible having you come onto the show today. I am literally honoured, and thank you so, so much for joining me, Sophie.
Well, thank you so much for asking. Like, I love to have a chat. You know me.
Yeah,
anytime.
exactly. So, yeah, thank you so, so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you found this inspiring, helpful, motivational, make sure you share it on social media. Give it a good rating or a bad rating if you want. Actually, please don't give it a bad rating. Be honest, but like, yeah, seriously. No, but seriously, subscribe, share, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening.